phone.
The very beginning of the presentation was cut off. She was simply explaining that this methodology has been effective with a wide range of children.
To be very effective with children who are on the autism spectrum, okay? Are all of you, does anyone need maybe further explanation about what antisocial behaviors are, if you're not quite sure what that is? Okay, those are behaviors like when a child's very aggressive, maybe they've been setting fires, lying, skipping school, truancy, those kinds of things. Those are pretty serious behaviors. And then sometimes kids with those behaviors end up in juvenile court. And this approach has been shown to really be able to help parents help their children with those types of behaviors. Some of them sound kind of scary, and they can be. They're any behavior that violates major social rules and expectations. So, but I also think that just everyday parenting with your kids, you know, they didn't come with a manual. This is kind of a manual. And I think it's just helpful. It's that your child does not have to be exhibiting those types of behaviors. It could be just, you know, the everyday normal. You have to tell them 16 times to do something before they move, or maybe you've had to raise your voice a lot, and maybe sometimes some parents have resorted to some physical punishment. So this is an approach that helps you manage and deal with behaviors without having to do those things. And then PMT therapists meet for weekly sessions with parents for approximately 12 to 16 weeks. It just depends on, maybe we get stuck on a behavior one time when we're there. But there are certain topics that we're going to be covering, and usually it's one at every session. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This program has been researched for more than 30 years. 78% or more of more report improvement when treatment was completed. It improves family relationships. This has been studied for families with children ages typically 4 to 14, but we have also done it with children that are a little bit older. I had a mom about a year ago with a 16-year-old who was having some severe running away kinds of behaviors. And after the program, the mom said to me, you know what, I took back my role as mom. I'm not her friend. She has enough friends. I took back my role as mom. And I am instituting rules and boundaries. And the child was respecting those. So I had another parent who told me after we finished, you know, I don't yell like I used to yell. I had another parent that told me, I don't give out these long, never-ending punishments. You know, the grounding that lasts 3 weeks, and you go there and you say, okay, so why is he grounded? You know, I can't even remember. I don't remember what he did. Does that sound familiar to anyone? You know that. So it really does improve family relationships. And again, I think it really helps empower parents to help their children. It decreases depression in parents and decreases stress in the home. Conflicts with children can cause a lot of stress in families. And so this is one way that can decrease some of that stress. So that's just a little overview of PMT. Okay. Oh, there it is, okay.
So as far as parenting practices are concerned, traditional parenting, I think it's safe to say the way that I was parented, the way that most people are parented is more of a disciplinarian method. You know, you pick up your toys and put them away. Why? Because I'm the parent, you're the child, you know, you do what you're told. That has success, and sometimes it doesn't work. And so PMT really looks at coming at behavioral problems from kind of a different perspective. So when we're talking about negative parenting practices, we look at things like yelling at your child, threatening them, harsh verbal punishment, like shaming them. You know, you're no good. How many times do I have to tell you this before you're finally going to get it? Are you stupid? Things that come out of our mouths, sometimes that when they come out, we think, oh, wow, did I just say that to a child? You know, but we're frustrated and we're angry, and we want very much to help our children learn how to grow and develop so that they can be successful in school, they can be successful with their friends, they can be successful in the community as they grow up, if they choose to get married and have families. We want them to have a good, stable foundation. And so that's really where parenting comes from, you know, the desire to bring your child up to do these things. But when it turns negative or harsh, then it's really not effective. Harsh physical punishments, spanking, beating, you know, standing against the wall extended for an hour, anything like that has really been shown to be not effective way to parent and to get a child to do whatever it is that you're wanting them to do. It's been shown to be pretty damaging. Thank you. So some of the negative effects of parenting is kids can have pretty emotional reactions to that. Sensitive kids, you know, might internalize those words and those actions. It damages the relationship between the parent and the child because things are said and things are done. It's hard to forgive those things and move on, even as an adult. And for a child, it's even especially more difficult for that to happen. It actually teaches aggression to a child. If you're parenting or disciplining out of anger, then you're really giving a message to the child, it's okay when you're angry to yell at people. It's okay when you're angry to hit people. And really, is it punishment then for the parent, or is it punishment for the child? You know, I just kind of think in working with parents, I've heard many parents say to me, you know, I spanked him and I was so ashamed that I did it. I was so angry and I knew that I shouldn't have done that in that moment. But I felt trapped. I felt like I had no other choice. He wasn't listening. He wasn't doing what I asked him to do. It's the same thing every time I go to tell him to do something. It's an argument, and I can't take it anymore. So I hear that frequently. Punishment alone does not teach a child what to do. There's a key piece in instructing them with what you want them to do and prompting them and praising them for doing that, as opposed to punishing them for the things you don't want them to do. And we'll speak more about that as the presentation goes on. There's also been a lot of studies that the length of a punishment or the severity of a punishment has not been shown to make the punishment itself more effective. So if you're going to put a kid in timeout for an hour and a half, it's no more effective than 6 minutes for a six-year-old child. If you're yelling and screaming or taking things away for a month as opposed to for an evening or for a day, it's not been shown to make any type of difference in the child not doing that behavior again, the negative behavior again. Another aspect of harsh physical or verbal punishment is that in children who are traumatized, children who have been abused, that harsh physical and verbal punishment can trigger the same area in their brain that stores the traumatic memories and the abuse. So you're really re-triggering memories of that abuse. It's the exact same part of the brain that stores it. And when a child is spanked, they don't know that it's for, you know, for discipline and for spanking. They're being hit. If they were hit in the past, it's going to bring that trauma back up for them. Depending on the age of the child, they might be able to verbalize it, but for little ones, they're not able to verbalize that, and it's going to cause more acting out behavior. Parent management training it's a commitment. It's a parenting style. It takes some learning and some practice. It takes daily practice. It requires doing charting, behavior charts with your child. It takes time to learn and to utilize the techniques. Cindy and I, when we work with families, we often, you know, we teach the program, and in the beginning, sometimes there are some kinks to be worked out in the actual techniques. Well, we tried this, it didn't quite work. So then we kind of look at, well, what did you specifically try? What did you say? What happened? And then we provide, you know, some coaching and some guidance to parents. Okay, well, let's try it this way, or let's practice this technique so that you can, our parents can become better familiarized with it and have more experience and feel more comfortable. It is basically a parent and coach relationship between the therapist and the parent. And we're speaking about children and their defiant behaviors. So it's really important to know what a behavior is. And a behavior is anything that can be seen or heard. A behavior is not a thought or a feeling, and it's not an attitude. So if I'm angry and I go and kick over the garbage can, my anger isn't a behavior. Going over to kick the garbage can is the behavior. The emotion itself isn't what gets you in trouble, generally speaking. It's what you do when you feel that emotion. So that's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind when you're looking at a behavior for a child that you want to modify. A thought, you can't control a child's thought. You can't control anybody else's thoughts besides your own. An emotion, emotions are universal. We all have them. We all have the same ones. They're there for a purpose. They let us know when things are going right. We feel happy, we feel joyful, calm, peaceful, relaxed. When things are not going right, we feel angry, sad, irritated, annoyed. And they can motivate us to make changes, to improve things, or to enjoy things that are going well.
Okay, one of the first things we teach parents when we go in is about positive opposites. And what a lot of parents do, this is a universal thing, when children are misbehaving, there's a lot of no, 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 don't, stop, 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 okay? And you're telling the child what they should not be doing. And there's a time and a place for that. But in everyday parenting, it is much more helpful to be telling the child what you do want them to do, the behavior you want your child to do instead of the negative behavior. So to change that behavior, you increase the positive opposite instead of punishing negative behaviors. So when we talk about that, we're talking about focusing on looking at what they're doing and thinking about what you want them to do instead. So they are, I think we have the next slide. Yes. This kind of gives a little overview of what some problem behaviors that you might be seeing, and then what the positive opposites are. Not minding. Minding, it's kind of an old-fashioned term. We don't use it a lot anymore unless you're working in the realm of PMT with parents. Minding is listening and following directions the first time calmly. Okay? So when a child's not minding, the positive opposite of that is minding. Again, listening and following directions the first time calmly. Maybe they have a tantrum when they're told no. I'm sure you've all experienced that. You know, nope, we can't go to the store. You're in line. No, you can't have that candy bar at the end. And depending on the age of the child, obviously a toddler, that's going to be a different story than maybe a six-year-old. But the opposite of the tantrum when they're told no is calmly accepting no. We do a lot of work with parents helping kids to do that very thing. Whining. That's a behavior that parents, that's like nails on the chalkboard to a lot of parents, that whining. And so you're reminding them to talk like, I want you to talk like a big kid or use a big kid voice when you're promoting the positive opposite. They're asking politely. So what you're doing is you're prompting them to do the appropriate behaviors. Physical aggression. The positive opposite of that is keeping your hands to yourself, keeping your feet to yourself, So you're stating it in the positive. You're taking the negative behavior and you're stating it in the positive. Verbal aggression. The positive opposite of that is using kind words. Or it's not always the words. Sometimes with some kids, it's the tone. You know, I do a lot of work with, especially adolescent, pre-adolescent age kids and adolescent age kids. You can take the one word, okay. And the parent says, you know, Susie, I want you to go put your, hang your backpack up in the closet. Okay? That's an example of a really good prompting of a behavior. And so, but this kid says, okay. Right? And goes and does what's asked. That's great. But you can take the same word and have a different slant on it. Susie, I want you to go hang your backpack up in the closet. Okay. Same word, but just a different tone. So sometimes it's using kind words, but sometimes it's also the tone. I want you to use a kind tone. Okay? I'm going to ask a couple of questions of you and see if you can come up with the positive opposite. Jumping on the furniture. What would be the positive opposite of jumping on the furniture? Anyone care to take a guess at that?
Feet on the floor.
Feet on the floor? Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Go ahead. What?
Jump outside.
If you want to jump outside.
Mm-hmm. Sit on the furniture.
There you go. And sitting on the furniture. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's a common one. I was working with a family several years ago when the kids would come home from school. It was the funniest thing. There were three of them, and they were all, you know, like 6, 7, and 8. And they would come in the house, and they would go into the living room. They would cross the furniture, I mean, on the couch, hop to the other couch, and hop across, and then go into their rooms. What just happened? So, all right, how about hugging the cat too tight? What would be the positive opposite of that? Way in the back. Perfect. Yeah. Let's pet the kitty nicely or gently. What were you going to say?
I was going to say gentle hugs.
Gentle hugs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. How about running in the house? But you've never said, stop running in the house.
Walking feet.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Walking in the house. One more. Wandering ahead in the store. What would be the positive opposite of that? Walk next to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you're looking at what that negative behavior is, and you're thinking, what do I want my child to be doing? So instead of doing the stop, 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 no, 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 don't, you want to communicate to them what you do want them to be doing. We know what we want them to be doing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know what they should be doing when we say, stop wandering. You know? All right. Let's see. What's the next? You're next.
Okay. So in order to ask a child to do the positive opposite instead of the problem behavior, we use a technique called prompting. And prompting is a verbal direction that you give to your child so that they'll do something. It's an instruction. Good prompts increase the understanding of what's being asked. So they're very clear. They're very short, sweet, and clear. They increase the likelihood that the positive behavior is going to happen because they're short and sweet and clear. They're not, okay, go clean your room. What is a five-year-old going to, what does that mean to a five-year-old? Okay, go to your room and put the dirty clothes in the hamper. Good prompt. Okay. They break down, I just kind of got ahead of myself there, they break down large tasks into smaller, more manageable tasks. Especially for children with ADHD, have a very hard time in completing a sequence of tasks. So you have to do one small piece. Okay, great job, you did it. Now we're going to work on the other small piece, or the other small piece. They require constant direction and instruction to the point where it can be very exhausting because we think, how many times do I have to tell little Johnny he knows what to do, he knows what the steps are? Yes, he does. But because his brain is just wired a little bit differently, he has a hard time in doing the sequence of things, and he really does forget, even though he knows. So good prompts make it, they kind of set your child up to be successful. Good prompts, instead of being vague, they're very specific. Instead of, again, giving a chain command, you give a series of small steps. Instead of asking, Johnny, will you please go clean your room up? Johnny, please clean your room up. And there's where the please comes in as well. I think it, sometimes if you're asking, will you please, right there you're setting up your child to say, yeah, no, I will not. Then what are you going to do? You know. So really the task is clean your room. There's no yes or no about it. Good prompts are calm and respectful, and they're not emotional. They are being in close proximity to your child. So they are, Johnny, pick up your toys and put them in the toy box. They're not from my bedroom screaming down to the living room, Johnny, put your clothes away. No, they're not going to hear. I didn't hear you. You didn't say that. Yes, I did. I'm hearing a lot of laughing and very common things that happen with our kids. So, can somebody, we're talking about, you know, Cindy asked for examples of positive opposites. Can somebody give me an idea of a good prompt for, like an example of a good prompt for anything? If you want, say, Johnny's chore is to... put the dishes in the dishwasher after dinner time. What would be a good prompt for that?
A parent said, I have a chore chart that I put on the refrigerator door, and then I just point to the chart and say, did you check your chart today?
Okay.
That's a great thing to have, by the way.
Yes.
It's printed right there on the refrigerator. If you have more than one child, you know, there's no arguing about, well, I did them yesterday, it's your turn. No, it's right there on the chart. You know, it's your turn to do it today. So it kind of takes the argument out of chores.
Yes. Any other examples? Okay. In my office, when I do counseling with children, I have a lot of toys, a lot of games, puppets. I'll have kids just come in and, boy, they beeline right to those toys. And I'm like, okay, Johnny, come on over. Have a seat at my table. Good job, you did it. You sat at my table. High five, buddy. Okay, now let's talk about our day a little bit. How was school today? Good? Yeah, it was good. No, I got in trouble. Oh, man, that's a bummer. They get up. Johnny, have a seat in the chair, okay, buddy? Good job. You're doing a good job. Okay, and I might do this for about 5 minutes. Every time that they comply with what I'm asking, I say, great job. You did exactly what I asked you to do. I'm praising them. Little by little by little by little. It seems kind of almost basic in a way, like really? I have to say thank you for doing that, but it really works. By the end of a session, I'll ask them to, you know, if we play with a toy, then when we're done, I'll ask them, okay, please put the toy back on the shelf and come back to me. And they'll go and put it back and come back, and, you know, their little eager faces right up there, and I'm like, you put the toy away and you came back. Great job. Give me a high five. And they high five. The next time that I ask them to do something, they are over there and they are right back in my little area, my little... mm-hmm. And I'm like, you did it again. Great job. So I just see instant results with that type of approach. And they're eager. They want to be praised. They want to know that they're doing well. They want to know that they're important and that they're loved. You're building their self-esteem. You're building their confidence. You're helping them to understand. You know, when you comply with expectations, you can succeed in things.
I'm a kid. I was doing a home visit last week with a little boy, and he lives with his grandparents, and he had this ball. I've never seen what kind of toy it is before. My kids are older than don't play with toys anymore. But it lit up and it had like propellers on the top. He was throwing it everywhere and it wasn't safe. And the grandfather was getting really frustrated. Stop throwing, you know. So I just kind of stepped in and said, hey, I want you to keep that ball in your hand, okay? Just hang, keep it in your hand. Very simple prompt, and he did. He did. For about 15 minutes, he walked around with that ball in his hand, and he didn't throw it. And so, you know, obviously, within 5 minutes, I was saying to him, hey, you did a really good job listening, and you're keeping that ball in your hand. I'm really proud of you. And sometimes we do have to break those things down into small little steps like that. And the positive thing about that, when you do that, is you're going to see success, and you're going to think, okay, this is working, you know? I can do this. You know, so just a little side.
Praising is something that I was just giving an example of. When a child complies with your request, you praise them. Praising has 5 elements of effective praising for PMT is being close to your child when you're praising them. So again, no screaming from across the room. Great job, no screaming as they're running out the door. Good job, buddy. Right? You want them to be close to you. You want to be specific. Be exactly what you ask them to do. Sometimes I'll kind of forget what I asked them to do, quite honestly, and I'll say, great job, you did exactly what I asked you to do. Good work. And then it'll come back to me. I asked you to put the toy back, and you put the toy back. Great job. You want to praise it immediately following their prompted and desired behavior. So as soon as you see them do it, praise it. You want to be genuine and enthusiastic about how you praise. This one is kind of a tough one because sometimes when you're frustrated or angry and when behavior has been going on for a long time, you might not be feeling very enthusiastic about praising your child for putting a toy on the shelf. You might be just kind of tired, kind of annoyed, frustrated, worn down a little bit. So the enthusiastic and genuine, be as genuine as you possibly can be and be as enthusiastic as you can be. In our training for PMT, we were taught to be like over the top enthusiastic and praiseful. And It was a challenge because I felt that it sometimes didn't feel genuine to the person that was doing it. If it's, you know, like, great job, you did it, fantastic, outstanding, buddy, and you're not that kind of an enthusiastic person, it doesn't feel very genuine. So with the enthusiasm and the genuine, just be as enthusiastic as is comfortable to you and maybe a little bit more. You know, it's okay to show excitement and praise. It's okay to go over the top. And it's actually kind of fun because you might get some looks like, what is she saying? Like, what are you, Mom, are you crazy or something? Like, what is wrong with you? You know what? Nothing is wrong. I am just so happy. I'm so proud of you. You made such a good choice. I'm just ecstatic for you. So it's important to be enthusiastic, and it's important to be genuine as well. So don't be somebody that you're not, but work on enthusiasm, is I guess how I'll say that. Did that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you guys. And include physical contact. Physical contact is really important. Is your child a high fiver? Do they like fist bumps? Do they like hugs? Do they like pats on the back? Are they a teenager? Do they want a bro hug? Do they want a special handshake? Do they want a passing, you know, on the upside, the flip, high, low, whatever? I don't know. Whatever they respond to, pair it with that physical contact. So in a child in a counseling office, I'm not going to be hugging children in the counseling office. It's just not appropriate. So I'll do a lot of high fives or fist bumps, and that's pretty much, sorry, a little noise there. That's pretty much what I'll limit it to. With my family, it's different because that's my family. So I'll hug, I'll whatever, head noogies, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. So also So for praising and prompting, you want to praise a positive behavior even when your child is playing nice. If an issue is like a sibling issue, Yeah, and Johnny and Sally are always arguing, and they're never playing nice together, and you just happen to walk by, and there they are sitting, and they're just talking to each other, and they're playing toys or dolls. No one's killing each other. No one's yelling at each other. Wow, great job, guys. I see how good that you're getting along. I like how you're using your calm words with each other. Great job. It's okay to praise that. It won't necessarily, like, stir the pot or shake the beast. They'll start to understand that when they do desired and positive behaviors, your response to them is going to be praising. It's paying attention. It is reinforcing that behavior. Any attention on a behavior is going to strengthen and make that behavior more likely to occur, whether that attention is positive or whether it's negative. So the more that you can switch it to positive, the more habit it's going to become for them, the more it's going to affect them, and it's going in a positive way, and you'll see changes in behavior. Praise them as well for things that they're already doing that they're supposed to be doing. And this is often where I start with parents, because by the time parents come to us, they're pretty exhausted and really looking for other techniques and strategies and frustrated. And so looking at, is there anything that your child does that he's supposed to be doing? Does he get up in the morning on his own for school? Does he eat his breakfast? Does he come downstairs in his school clothes? Does he brush his teeth? Does he comb his hair? Does he pick his clothes out? Anything that he does or she does that they're supposed to be doing, praise it. Praise it, praise it, praise it. It might feel like you're going backwards a little bit, you know, like, well, he's 8, why am I praising him for putting his socks on? To start the habit of using this language and using this technique, and to help introduce the child to prompting and praising as well, that you're noticing, hey, he's doing something, you know, or I'm doing something that, and they're noticing it. So it's going to start helping to change that behavior. And then positive reinforcement rule.
Okay. So positive reinforcement rule. You can hear we're all about praising appropriate behaviors, because that is the way we get kids to change behaviors. This is an evidence-based program, and we know that, I'm getting to these, but we know that punishment and consequences do not change kids' behaviors. Parents think they do, because maybe at the very beginning you see the child stops a behavior, changes a behavior, but if it's not followed up with the positive reinforcement, the praise for the appropriate behaviors, you're going to see those negative behaviors continue. They'll come back. Sometimes they come back even worse. So positive reinforcement. When a behavior is followed by a positive consequence or reinforcing, the behavior is more likely to occur in the future. So again, like Laura said, any behavior that you give attention to is going to be repeated. So PMT says, let's focus on the positive behaviors. Let's praise those positive behaviors so we can see those behaviors continue. There are examples. There are 4 types of reinforcers. The social reinforcer, that is your praise. That is the most important reinforcer you can give your child. The most important. Okay? So those words of praise, hey, I noticed you did this. You did a great job. I'm very proud of you. What a big kid you were when you helped your sister put her shoes on. All those are social reinforcers, okay? The other social reinforcers are things like smiling, hugging. Those are also all social reinforcers. The next one that we use a lot with kids when we're charting behaviors are material reinforcers. That's anything that your child can have and hold. It's a treat. It's a special snack. Maybe it's going to the dollar store and picking out a dollar toy. Anything that the child can have and hold. That's a material reinforcer. And of course, the kids really like those. You know, those are their favorite things. And kids will work, if it's something that they are interested in earning and wanting, then they're going to be interested then in doing behaviors that will get them those things. Privileges. Privilege is anything from maybe going to the movies, a parent doing their chore for the day. It could be a sleepover with a friend or having a friend come over. It's a privilege. It could be staying up an extra half an hour after bedtime. It could be playing a game with a parent. It could be giving them an extra half an hour on whatever game system they have. Those are privileges. And then token reinforcers. Those are things like when we talk about, we'll talk about points charts, the points that the child is earning, those are token reinforcers. Or maybe some of you have used stickers in the past for charting behaviors, or, you know, when the child goes potty on the toilet, you know, when you're training, toilet training. Those are all token reinforcers. By themselves, they don't have any kind of value, but the child can use those then to turn them into for something that is more valuable, such as the material or the privileges. Okay? And then again, how you respond influences how often a behavior occurs. I bet some of you maybe remember, if you have a toddler or if your kids are a little bit older, remembering back to toddler, when they're toddlers or 3 years old, and you have them like take all the spoons and put them in the drawer, you know, where the spoons go. And, oh, what a big girl you are, or what a big boy you are. And then every time they heard you jingling, you know, the silverware or opening the door to the dishwasher, they come running, I help, because you have influenced that and you have praised that behavior and you've responded to that behavior in a positive way. So it occurs again and again. Okay. So rules for using reinforcers, anything that's going to strengthen the desired behavior. It should be meaningful to the child. Most of the time we have them help us pick reinforcers that they would like to be able to earn. Usually it's the material or the privileges. And they help us because we want them to be a part of, and we want it to be something that's meaningful to them that they're willing to work for. It has to be enforceable for the parent. I was working with a family, and lots of kids in the family. I think they had like 8 kids. There was a newborn. And for us to have a reinforcer, like the mom is going to take the child out and go to the library and go out to McDonald's afterwards, you know, spend several hours, that was not going to happen with a mom with 8 kids and a newborn in the house. Okay, so we want to make it something that the parent can actually do, okay? Because there's nothing worse than putting something on a chart or promising a child something they've achieved and are able to then redeem that reward, and then the parent can't do it for some reason. So we want to make sure that it's doable by the parent. And then appropriate to the situation, okay? And of course the age of the child. I was working one time with a child. He was 10. And I said, okay, so we're going to talk about some rewards when you earn enough points. What would you like? I want to go on a hot air balloon ride. I don't think so. Sorry. Great, wonderful idea, but we can't do that. So you want to make sure that it's appropriate to the situation. Let's see if I had any other. Okay, I think that any questions, never mind, I'm sorry, we're taking questions at the end. Okay, so did I cover that?
Yep. Okay. So getting into behavior charts or criticism traps. Technical intermission.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Avoid these traps. And this is exactly what I tell parents. This is a trap. You give your 14-year-old daughter, you ground her for the day for some infraction that she's done. Okay? it even happens with eight-year-olds, you know. And so you're grounded for the day because you did this. I don't care. Ground me. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Or you get the eight-year-old says, fine, you took that toy out. I'll play with my train instead of the car, you know, the car that you took away. So parents react like, ugh, this isn't a strong enough punishment because my kid doesn't care. So and so we think that punishment is effective when they cry and they become upset. Okay? There is absolutely no connection between you giving a punishment or consequence and how upset your child gets as to how effective it is. Because you probably all have experienced it one time or another, the kid who says, I don't care. Ground me. Doesn't matter. So then that reaction happens that it's not strong enough. Well, fine. Now you're grounded tomorrow, too. And the kid says, fine, I don't care. And that whole fine thing goes back and forth. Fine, and all of a sudden you're up to like 3 weeks of grounding that, you know, because this kid's saying fine and you're getting your buttons pushed and you're thinking that this, you know, it's not effective. I want you to know that when you give a consequence or a punishment, you need to know that it's going to be effective, okay? Even if your child says, fine, I don't care. Or fine, I'll just go play with my train instead of the, you know, the car you took away. I want you guys to really understand that it's okay, and you ignore that. You ignore that fine. You turn your back and walk away, okay? You don't respond to that. You don't want to get into a debate with your, you know, 14-year-old or your 8-year-old about how effective that punishment is. I'll tell you a little story. I was working with a family, and a mom and two girls, and I was working with the 14-year-old, and any of you have experienced 14-year-old girls? I had at one point I had four 14-year-old girls on my caseload, and I said to my then supervisor, not another one. Not one more 14-year-old girl. So this girl, it was towards the end of the summer, I mean the end of the school year, and she had stolen something from a store and gotten caught. And yeah, that's pretty serious. So I go talk with mom. Mom's really hot and bothered. And Cindy, I have grounded her for the entire summer. And I'm thinking, whoa. I said, are you sure you want to do that? Yes, she's got to learn that when I say something, I mean it. And she's got to learn that she can't do this kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, kind of sounds like a punishment for you to have this kid in your face all summer long. But okay, you know, you think that's... So then I go to school, and I'm working with Ashley, not her real name. And I'm like, Ashley, man, you got yourself into some real hot water with your mom, you know, and what happened, and you know, you're grounded for the entire summer. And she looked at me and gave me this back to that attitude we talked about, as only a 14-year-old can do, because they perfect it. Cindy, please. We both know that I am never going to be grounded for the entire summer. I'll probably be off grounding by the end of the weekend. Guess what? That's exactly what happened. So mom had no credibility. You know, mom gave this long, long punishment that was not going to be enforceable. And again, like I said in the beginning, when someone says, well, why are they grounded? And you can't remember, then it's been way too long. Okay? So you don't want to fall into that trap of, I don't care. Fine. Ground me. It doesn't matter. Or whatever. All those things are traps that these kids perfect. They know what buttons to push on us and what response that we're going to give them. And it's very hard to follow up with those kinds of punishments. So, like Laura said, short and sweet is just as effective and easier to manage and enforce. And if they don't cry and carry on, it's okay. Okay? Walk away. You've stated you're grounded for the rest of the day because you did blah, blah, and then you walk away. You don't have to debate it with them. And then ignoring positive behavior trap. Praise praise often and for anything your child is doing that he or she is supposed to be doing. So I think you're getting you're hearing now. Praise, 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 praise. And the other huge thing is calm. Okay? Calm, Calm does it way more than screaming and yelling. You're going to be way more effective. And sometimes if you see your child even starting to escalate a little bit, that's when you want to just drop the volume of your voice a little bit and talk just a little bit slower, and they're going to want to hear what you're saying. So lots of times that can diffuse just by you using your voice as a tool in parenting. Okay. You're doing, I think, behavior charts. Mm-hmm.
So for behavior charts, there are a few different types of behavior charts that PAMT uses. For adolescent children over, say, 10, 11, 12, and then for the children younger than that. Behavior charts are specific behaviors, and we like to put only 1 to 3 behaviors at a time on a chart. Again, it's using prompts for behaviors. Johnny, pick up your toys and put them in the toy box and come back to me. So in PMT, you observe your child doing that behavior, and you immediately praise them and give them the points or the rewards on that chart. So this is kind of it came out a little bigger. So on this chart, you would put the behavior, minding. The description would be...
listening and following directions.
Thank you.
The first time, calmly.
Calmly. And when you're asked, you would assign a points value to how many points, say 2 or 3 points. You would put the days of the week up on these charts. Every time that they do it, you give them points, and you add it up at the end of the day. You also have a section for rewards, and those are, again, those reinforcers. Those things can be baking brownies with mom. They can be going to the library, and Johnny gets to pick the movie for movie night. They can be going to the dollar store and getting a dollar toy. They can be whatever is appropriate and to your means. They don't have to be a pair of Nikes, a hot air balloon ride, an iPhone. My goodness, how many times I've heard that one. I don't even have an iPhone, I tell the kids. Yeah, no iPhones. So points, charts, and rewards don't have to cost money. And actually, we try to do a balance of connecting in social rewards with material rewards, because we don't want, again, for kids to think, well, I'm going to be able to, you know, buy these things with good behavior. Another type of reward chart is for younger children. So this is where you would have the reward written in the bubble, and every time that the child minds, you would either get a sticker or color in these circles. When they're colored in, then they get their reward. So this is typically for the littles. That, you know, the other chart is a little bit more complicated. It requires adding things up. Do you have enough points at the end of the day to get any of your rewards? If so, then you subtract them down there, the balance, there's a total. You carry that to the next day and add that next day. So this one is, you know, for the older kids, then you can even reinforce math skills, our favorite, new math. So there's just a couple different types of those charts. And you've probably seen variations of charts by now. Schools use charts. They clip up, they clip down. They assign colors to behaviors. I'm in the Columbia schools, and I'm still trying to learn their colors because they're not like what I think they would be. Red is not the bad one. Green is not the good one. It's like pink and purple, and I'm like, okay, and what does that mean? So there's a lot of different charts. Another really important thing to say about behavior charts is after a child has earned a reward, don't take it away. Don't take it away as a removal of consequences or punishment or anything like that. If they earned it, they keep it. Because again, you want to make sure that your word means something, and that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So the behavior, the task could be cleaning your room. The description could be put your toys in the toy box. Would you do that on the shaping chart as opposed to a minding?
It depends on the age of the child.
Okay.
But it could be dirty clothes in the hamper.
Dirty clothes in the hamper, toys in the toy box, make the bed. So if they do all those three things, then they get the point value assigned. They get that for that task.
One I've done with a lot of adolescent boys is hygiene.
Parents are like, could you do something about this?
Yeah,
we can do something about this.
Yes, we can.
We put hygiene as the behavior, and then we describe. Okay, so Joey's going to take shower and shampoo every day, and he's also going to brush his teeth twice a day. And then he earns points for doing that, because some kids really have a, especially the adolescent age boy, young adolescent. Mm-hmm. Be careful that you make the behaviors, though, be real behavior, concrete behaviors, as opposed to, like, again, attitudes. And, you know, I get that a lot with adolescent age, you know, kids, their parents also, you know, can't stand that attitude. I know.
I'm going to move into timeouts and time aways. Time out is a little different in PMT than it is in traditional parenting. It is a time out from them being able to receive a reward for good behavior. It's used for verbal or physical aggression, name-calling, hitting, punching, conflicts, siblings conflicts, and it can be used for parents as well. With older kids, try putting a child in a timeout, a 14-year-old, then that's when we say, you know, I have to step away. We go to the other room. We calm down. That is modeling for your child that even parents get upset that I'm going to say something or do something that I don't want to do. You're modeling it's okay to acknowledge that, to take a breath, to calm down, come back fresh, and deal with it then so that you're not in that place of anger. You're not in that place where you're going to say something or do something that is just not going to be effective. Bad timeouts versus good timeouts. Bad timeouts are prolonged. They just go and go. Good timeout is you set an appropriate time, 5 minutes, usually pretty good. Your timeout space wants to be boring, where there's no stimulation around. So at the bottom of a stairwell, in the hallway, it's not in a closet, it's not in a bedroom that has an Xbox, it's not in the kitchen looking at the pantry with the Doritos or anything. A boring location, sitting in a chair facing this way, there's nothing besides us in here. You know, it's kind of a non-stimulating room. There's no books in here even though we're in the library. And paired with a positive reinforcement and a praise for going there. So, okay, good job, you're sitting in the chair. I'm going to come 5 minutes, you know, at the end of 5 minutes. You did it. Great job. Now it's time to move on. So there's that praising part that goes along with the timeout that's a little different in PMT. And two important skills are attending and ignoring.
I know. Okay, attending. That's when you give a child attention when they're acting in an appropriate way. And then the planned ignoring is when you are going to completely ignore a behavior, and we'll talk about that. So Laura already mentioned when kids are playing nicely, parents hesitate to attend to children when they're doing that. They think that it's going to interrupt, but that really is a great time if you really want to have an improvement in your children getting along with each other. Going up and saying, hey, I really like the way you're helping or you're playing this game so nicely, that's really important to do. So specifically with attending, you're noticing when someone is doing something desirable. You're giving attention to the child and you're praising the child. You're going to give positive feedback. You're going to eye contact, you know, you're looking at your child. Positive facial expression, that usually means smiling. You can physically touch. And then positive body language. You are letting your child know that what they are doing is good. It's a good thing, even though I try to not use good and bad, but that it's an appropriate behavior. And then ignoring. Planned ignoring. Planned ignoring for annoying behaviors. Again, these are annoying behaviors. They're not aggressive behaviors. They're not dangerous behaviors. They're annoying. It says you are deliberately ignoring an undesirable behavior to decrease its frequency. This is the only way we get kids to actually stop certain behaviors. Things like eye rolling, sighs, parents jump on those things. you can really just ignore that. You know, mumbling under the breath, they're walking away, and they're like, stupid, rules, and parents like, come back, what did you just say? You want to just ignore that. Completely ignore that, okay? Again, remember, there are annoying behaviors. Sometimes stomping away, parents don't like that. Ignore that, because the more you give attention to that, the more you're going to see that repeated, okay? Stomping up the stairs, slamming the door, as long as they're not rattling, you know, the pictures and things are falling off the walls. But again, when they know that it's not going to press your buttons, what fun is it? We were both working with a family, and a little boy who was about 12, and when he was home with mom, and he didn't like something that she said, he would give her the finger. Granted, very disrespectful behavior. But it mostly happened in the home. And, of course, she would respond like every one of you would. I saw your, looks. Stop it. Don't do that. That kind of thing. That's not nice. Blah, 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 blah. Well, all that did was increase the frequency of him giving her the finger. So the very day that we were talking about attending and ignoring, I said, okay, so let's come up with a behavior. I want you to think of one behavior that your child's doing that we can work on annoying. If you work on ignoring all of them, you're going to make yourself crazy and you're not going to see how this really works. So we picked one, and it was giving the finger. It was probably later that day. She's sitting on the couch watching TV. Must have been some kind of dialogue between them. She must have told him something he didn't like so she could see. He's over there and he's flipping her off. Okay? She continued to watch that TV. And did not look at him, did not make a face, did not roll eyes, nothing. She pretended like he was invisible. That's the best way to describe. Your kid's invisible. So sometimes what happens when you ignore something and they're used to you having a reaction, they up it a little bit. They up the ante, okay? So he's sitting there and he does it again. And then he says, Mom, didn't you just see I gave you the finger? Aren't you going to do anything? Mom, come on, I'm giving you the finger. She continued to look at that TV and totally ignored this kid. He got up off the couch, came over to her, and stuck his little finger right in her face and said, Mom, I'm giving you the finger. Can't you see me doing this? I'm doing it to you right now. And she continued to completely ignore this kid, watching TV. And he kind of just like shrugged his shoulders and walked away. Now, again, we meet kind of on a weekly basis. By the next week, that behavior had significantly decreased with him. It wasn't completely gone, but it had significantly decreased because she was completely ignoring him. She wasn't giving him any reinforcement. She wasn't giving him any attention for that behavior. So it really does work. What I really suggest you do, though, is if your child has a really annoying behavior that just kind of sets you off, pick that one and ignore it. Don't roll your eyes. Don't look at your, significant other like, hey, I'm doing it again. We're going to ignore it. Nothing. Pretend like he's invisible or she's invisible. Okay? You got to get that other person on board with you, And that way, when you start to see that behavior decrease, you're going to feel really empowered. Okay, this is working. Okay? If you try to do all the behaviors that are annoying, you're not going to be able to figure out which one you're being successful with. So start with one. Okay? You decide what behavior to ignore and what you can tolerate. She decided she was going to completely ignore that giving of the finger, and then you use this skill consistently. Okay? Once you've decided to ignore that behavior, every time it happens, you have to ignore that. Otherwise, you're going to start all over again. Okay? So ignore it every single time. All right, in the interest of moving along, we are moving along. Oh, that's me, reprimands. Okay, so there are times when we do have to say no, don't, and stop. Okay, you probably looked at me when I first said that like, yeah, right. And so, yeah, there are times we do have to say no, don't, and stop. But there's kind of some other things you need to do along with that. Okay, you use it for activities that can be harmful or cause damage to a person or property. Roughhousing with siblings or pets, throwing the ball inside, those are things that could possibly have, you know, some bad outcomes. So you do want to use reprimands. PMT says this is a form of punishment because you are being, it's negative, you know, you're being stern with your child. So the goal is to stop the behavior and to tell the child what he or she should be doing instead. So there are three things that you want to remember with reprimands, okay? You want to remember, did I go too far? Okay, to be calm, because they're doing something you don't like. Three things to remember. First, tell the child what behavior they need to stop. The second thing is why they need to stop, and then what to do instead. And again, that's where that positive opposite comes back in. You're telling them what you do want them to do. So we'll use the, that's okay. Maybe being really rough. Squeezing the cat really, really hard, okay? Joey, stop squeezing the cat so hard. You could hurt the cat. Pet the cat gently instead. You've got all three things in there, okay? Joey, stop squeezing the cat so hard. You need to pet the cat gently. And then, that you could hurt the cat. And then I need you to pet the cat gently. Those three things. What to stop, why to stop it, and what to do instead. The goal is to get them to stop that behavior. It's about 12, constantly throwing the ball outside against the house. Okay, it was a split-level house, so there was a window low, and Mom was afraid he was going to break the window with the ball. He was throwing it and catching it with his mitt. It was bouncing back off. So, Billy, stop throwing the ball against the house. You could break the window. Throw the ball up in the air instead, or play with the ball in the backyard where there was more room. So those are the three things that you need to do when you're giving a reprimand, and be calm. So that sounds all nice, but what if they don't comply? Okay, they still continue to squeeze the cat or throw the ball. That's when you want to go back and say you have a choice. Okay, you can take the ball in the backyard and throw it. You can play with the cat gently, or you're going to lose this privilege for the rest of the day. Depending on what's going on, if it's something serious, you might want to make if they're not complying, you might want to make that loss of privilege pretty significant. And again, for the rest of the day, not 3 weeks, down the road. And so when they do comply, you want to praise that. Thank you. I'm really proud of you. You're petting the cat gently now. Or, hey, thanks. You took the ball in the backyard, or you're throwing it up in the air. You want to praise that behavior. If you've said to them, you have a choice, you can pet the cat gently, or you're going to lose your privileges with your Xbox for the rest of the day. If they make the good choice, then you say, wait, I'm really proud of you for making a good choice. If they don't, then you simply say, well, I'm sorry, you've lost your Xbox for the rest of the day. And that's where you can run into the, I'm doing it. I stopped. Once you've said you've lost this privilege for the rest of the day, you need to enforce that. Okay? You can say to them, hey, I appreciate that, but you can try again next time. Next time this happens. You kind of want to always dangle that there's always another time to behave. So with reprimands, you want to use a firm and calm tone of voice. You want to use, your face needs to look like you're not happy with them. You're not going to be smiling at them and saying, stop squeezing the cat. So you want to show that you're disapproving. Again, you want to be close to your child when you're telling them that. And once you have reprimanded a behavior, every time that behavior happens, you need to continue with reprimanding. So every time Joey squeezes the cat too hard, then you need to follow with the reprimand. Okay.
Pardon me? Okay. So throughout PMT, really, I think you've heard some repetitive type of themes about giving clear instructions, being calm, breaking things into small steps. Really, when we look at the steps of effective communication, of being able to communicate what I need, what I want, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and for the other person to hear that and understand it, and for me to be able to look at Cindy and say, oh, I hear what you're saying. this is what, you know, this is what you need, or this is what happened. The steps for effective communication are being calm, not being on the defensive, being a good listener. It's sometimes hard to not respond. Sometimes we just want someone to hear us. You know, to be seen and to be heard is very important. Be respectful. Use respectful language. Stay on the subject. Keep it in the now. Don't go back to the past. Offer alternatives. Don't just argue or disagree. And again, focus on the present. So when we're looking at conflict resolution with kids, compromising is another part of PMT that we're not really going to go into tonight, because we could just spend the whole night on that one. But those are kind of the aspects of that. You know, if Johnny wants to, if he's 12 or 13 and he wants to spend the night at his friend's house on Friday, and you've never met the kid, you've never met the parent, you know, okay. Well, what I hear is that you really are excited about going to Johnny's house on Friday, but I've not met him. I don't know his parents. I'm not comfortable with that. You know, how about instead of that, let's invite him over. Let's invite him and his mom over for dinner. We'll get to know him. I can see where they live. You know, it's kind of that, the compromise back and forth. It's what does Johnny want? If you're not comfortable with it, if it's a safety issue, what can we compromise on? It doesn't always have to be black or white. So just those techniques are really useful in trying to communicate with your child and trying to understand them. To have them feel like they're being heard and listened to is really, really important. It's important for adults, and it's really important for children as well. So using, kind of keeping those in the back of your mind when you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with your spouse, with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with your doctors, whoever it may be, really trying to kind of calm yourself a little bit and try to focus on what the other person is trying to communicate. What do they need? What do they want? With children, sometimes I'll throw a guess out there. I'll see, you know, because children don't necessarily have the ability with their words to tell us what they're thinking and feeling. That part of their brain that helps them do that is not fully developed until they're in their mid-20s. So it's really hard. So you might get a behavior. You might get a stomping away. You know, you might get a throw a toy. You know, I'll say, boy, you know, I see that you threw that toy. I wonder if you're feeling really angry because you didn't get your way. Yeah, I'm angry. You know, it's like you're giving them the words and guessing. And if that child is not angry, they will tell you, no, I'm not angry. I'm just tired. Oh, okay, you're tired. So it's kind of like you're trying to guess with a child. If you try to guess, generally they're going to come back and either say, yeah, that's it, or no, you're way off, because they want to be understood, but they just don't quite have the words yet. And looking at a child's negative behaviors, a lot of times that's what it is. You know, they're getting upset, they're getting frustrated, so they're going to like start smacking their brother. They just don't know how to express that yet, so it comes out in a behavior. So keeping these things in mind, being calm, trying to take a breath, that's one that I do. I do it with my family, I do it with the kids I work with, I do it with adults. You know, if things are escalating, I'll just go, okay, I hear what you're saying. And then I'll try to calm myself down to model to them, I'm a human being too, I have my triggers, you know. If I need to calm down, I can try to calm myself down. And that's a really good teaching tool to model for your child, to teach them it's okay, feelings are okay, emotions are okay. It's what we do with them that tends to get us into trouble. Okay. So we're coming up on the end of our presentation. And again, basically just reviewing the topics that we've talked about is the negative parenting practices, harsh punishments, prolonged punishments have not been shown to be effective ways to change a behavior. Positive opposites is focusing on what you want the child to do instead of disciplining for what they're doing wrong or what you don't want them to do. Prompting and praising. Prompting is, Johnny, pick up your toy and put it in the toy box and come back to me. And when he gets up and puts his toy, he comes back. Great job, Johnny, you did it. Thank you so much. You put the toy in the toy box. High five, buddy. Reinforcers, that's behavior charts. That is hugs, high fives, earning points to cash in for rewards. It is going to the library. It's getting a dollar toy. It's baking brownies with mom. It's picking out the movie for family movie night. Attending and ignoring is what Cindy was talking about with just ignoring the annoying behaviors and paying attention. As soon as the child stops it, turn and pay attention. It can happen in the same event. You can attend and ignore 10, 20, 30 times when a child is doing something. So when they're doing it, you turn back to them, you focus on them, you're looking away, they start doing the annoying, you just kind of turn your head, don't pay attention. Timeouts and time aways are for when a child needs a timeout, if they're not doing something, or if you need a timeout, if you need to remove yourself. And reprimands are for things that can cause harm to people, objects, possessions, animals. Resources. So we have compiled a list of resources on parent management training. The Yale Parenting Center is a really great resource on all information about parent management training. There's detailed bibliographies and research on it, publications. It has a press room, so any press releases, if they're doing any current research on the topic. They have videos. They list additional resources, and you can also sign up for an email newsletter that just kind of keeps you in the loop with any new developments in PMT.